Were the stories, George and AJ, true where if they whacked someone, they didn't do it at the guy's house, they didn't do it in front of his family, they never hurt the guy's wife or kids? Is all that true?
That's code. Absolutely.
See, nowadays, I'm not talking about the Italian mob,
yeah,
but these other mobs, they'll go in and blow up your house, kill your kid, kill your wife.
There was a code. There still is to an extent, but it's changed because, like I said, the youth has prevailed in the mafia now. I'm speaking from New York. But, you know, look, Joey Gallo got blown away at Umberto's Clam House in front of his wife, and his face fell on a plate of spaghetti. So they do stray sometimes.
Umberto's.
Yeah, Umberto's, I'm sorry. They do stray sometimes from the script. But for all intents and purposes, you can't even hit on another man's wife or tell her she looks good tonight. You know, they really have a strict code among thieves, so to speak.
And they have a strict code within their own family.
Yeah.
You didn't smack your wife.
No.
You didn't even swear to her. And she also was not to know your business.
A lot of times the Italian wife was tougher than the mobster and ruled over him, right? At least in the family.
Yes. She ran the family business.
Yeah.
But often she had no idea. I mean, even the Della Nursta family, they suspected that he was bigger than he was. But on the street, his front was just a small-time bookie.
Hmm. George, tell us a little bit about Jerry Vero, who's going to join us next hour.
Oh, my goodness. Jerry was just a revelation to me because he had talked to me on the telephone, and I heard this real deep New York accent, probably Brooklyn, Queens, I didn't know, but it was just, he was authentic. And he talked about his family and gave me loads of stories. But he had incredible stories to tell me, including the fact that he'd had experience meeting John Gotti's son and had been to the Raven Heights Club where his great uncle was, and he had some wonderful stories about his experiences there and what he observed.
Well, Jerry's right out of Central Casting. He really, I watched your DVD, which is just really a voyeuristic view, a peek into Sonny's stories and the stories of the mob over the decades. But you know, you got Paulie in a cab and the stories he's telling you, and I'm watching and my heart's pounding because I want to be on those streets so bad again in New York, and I'm looking at the old restaurants and the Muldoons and the Mulberry Street Cafe and Ferraras, and I started sweating. I want to get back home, back on the street, but between the voice and the food and the conversation, I couldn't take it.
Well, that's what I captured for 17 hours. I mean, it was just endless. And thank God I had the camera with me because I would have run out of paper.
When did you put it together and realize that this Paulie Lefty truly was the one in charge?
It all started with the FBI.
Okay.
When that guy told me to stay away from it, don't touch it, and then finally confirmed to Jerry that he was the consigliere for the entire American Mafia. It was then that I had a name, Paulie Lefty.
But doesn't this fly in the face of everything the FBI is supposed to be? I'm going to go back to my father, and I'm sorry to do this, but he was a Treasury agent, undercover Treasury agent. He could have went FBI. He said, AJ, every one of the men I met that were going for them, they were trying to be investigators. He said he called them the Federal Bureau of Idiots. He said they were not the smartest men on the team that got those jobs. Now, why then, if a man like this FBI agent would know about a Paulie Lefty or Lefty Paulie, why weren't steps taken?
They could not nail him. Every time he got word on the street that there was going to be some heat, he would go disappear. He'd go down to see Trafficante. He'd go up and see Giancano. And he'd stay with them. Then the heat was off and they'd come back.
Was he truly feared, George?
Oh, my God, yes. Yes. It's well documented in the book how even when he was in his very late years, sitting in a chair with oxygen, there was a problem that occurred with Jerry's mother. And she was threatened. And Jerry made some phone calls, and within 24 hours, it was solved.
Yeah.
And I also realized, as I walked the streets with him, that there were people who didn't bother us because
they knew
that Sonny was who he was, and they also knew that Jerry was part of the family.